What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose, a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah. Gonna get all up in you tonight. Gonna feel so good. I just got one little question for you, girl.
Will you accept this rose? Oh, will you accept this rose into your world? Accept this rose into your world.
Hello, baby boys, baby girls, baby humans, baby bunnies and monkeys out there. My name is Arden Marine, and I have a special, special podcast for you guys today. When we realized that ABC is literally running out of content and they're like trying to trick us that Sean Lowe's season, that they didn't just air this 4 weeks ago and we did it with Jerry and Rob, we were ready to do another podcast. We're like, wait, we've done this one before. But guess what? In December, we clearly didn't know that a pandemic was going to happen, but I knew we were about to go into the Bachelor season. It was going to get busy for us. And I knew my book was coming out in September, and I wanted to do something special in the release for it. I'm sure you guys have heard week after week me talking about it, but I did. I wrote a book. I wrote a book called Little Miss Little Compton. It's a memoir. It talks about my family growing up in this tiny town in Rhode Island with an allegedly illiterate chief of police and no stoplights and a general store. And my parents never dated one another. They were coworkers. And when New Year's Eve, they got engaged on a dare and they got married 6 weeks later. And they stayed married for 50 years. And it starts with that. And it talks about my time with my family. And then also that I was able to, you know, grow up with no connections or anything and found my way onto an NBC sitcom by the age of 22 and sort of how I did that and some funny stories about accidentally kicking Courtney Cox in the face on the set of Friends. Things like that are all in the book. So if you guys enjoy what you hear on the podcast, it's really my heart is in this book. It's truly, if you want to get to know me, this it's all in there. And it was probably the most intimate thing I've ever done next to the podcast. And I actually feel like doing this podcast gave me the bravery to kind of open up and be a little bit more honest about myself. I think that in the past, even in my stand-up, I've never been super personal. And just for you longtime listeners and maybe for some newer ones, but I mean, the last few years personally have been wonderful and also pretty banana pants batshit crazy. Yeah, there's been a lot that's happened and all happened during The Bachelor. I lost both of my parents during the podcast season. Both of them passed away on weekends and both of both times I ended up doing the podcast on Tuesday because I canceled everything else, but the one thing I wanted to do was my podcast. So it forced me to be more open because I couldn't hide what was going on. I couldn't hide the fact that I was in my childhood den with my brother or my mom in the first case. Like, so that was, this was the place that I felt brave enough to start sort of telling the truth. So what was fun about writing the book was I realized I have all these interesting and wonderful friends, none of whom grew up in Los Angeles, none of whom had any connections, who are a large part of who you've gotten to know as our regular participants. You know, we've got Rob Benedict and Padgett Brewster, Aaron Foley, who was such a joy, Lauren Lapkus. And I had never really sat down and looked at my story, and I was curious just what made them them. I know them now, but I was curious about how they grew up, where they grew up, how they got their start, what their family was like. And so these episodes are a little more personal. So we decided, my sweet, sweet Anna, who is here and has been such a joy and such a gift and is in the book, as are you guys, the podcast. I, you know, you guys helped put Humpty back together. It's really been one of the joys of my life. But we decided to do a series leading up to the release of the book called Feeling Thorny. So it's sort of like, you know, I think you guys are wise enough. You get it. But they're an intimate look. They're one-on-one interviews with some of your favorite guests that are on. And we're going to do more of them in the quarantine. But the first person up, we just adore. And I didn't know him, even though I worked with him. I did a movie with him years ago. But I didn't really know him before the podcast. And what's been so fun about the podcast, I think for all of us, is I feel like I've made all these friends, both like in person and you guys. I feel like our listeners, we have the best listeners. But Anna, don't you feel like we're on this weird little team of like, you're in a lot of podcasts, but this is a very special little world that we created.
Yeah, I would say this is my favorite team.
And it's just, and if it's your cup of tea, you know, you guys get it. And so our first one that we're going to release is Rob Benedict. And it was so interesting getting to know him. I mean, we have a few coming up. We have Wells Adams, who was, you know, on The Bachelor as a regular. We did one with Padgett Brewster. We did one with Aaron Foley and Lauren Lapkus. We did one with my boss from Insatiable. She was the first female showrunner I ever worked with, and she really wowed me, Lauren Gussis. And I'm just curious about, like, how people found their voice, owned who they are. And I think, you know, even if you're not a performer, I think this will be interesting for anybody. So I hope you guys really enjoy these. We'll be airing them on the weeks that they're not, you know, where they have reruns, because we want you to have some fun new content to listen to when they're torturing us with a repeat of Bachelor Goat. And I'm going to do another giveaway right now. Since you guys have been so sweet. So don't forget to email in receipts of the book. Please get the book. It's really fun. Little Miss Little Compton. All right. So I'm going to send a t-shirt to this person. This is going to go. Mary DeMann, you're getting a t-shirt, honey. Yay.
Exciting.
So I hope you guys like these. We had a lot of fun doing these Feeling Thorny. Wasn't it interesting, Anna?
Yeah. It was interesting to learn more about people and their background and where they came from outside of The Bachelor.
It was interesting. I actually found what was interesting was how Wells and Rob had slightly similar. There was aspects of their stories that were similar, which surprised me.
I mean, that's what we're learning about everyone. It's pretty cool.
So we hope you will enjoy a more intimate look into the players of the podcast. And we certainly enjoy doing them. And there'll be a bunch of them coming up. But ladies and gentlemen, our very first Feeling Thorny, Rob Benedict. Here we go.
You know what time it is.
Yes.
It's time for Arden to get a little close.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And a little thorny.
This is called Feeling Thorny.
Oh, well, Arden's gonna go. One-on-one, gonna be high-energy fun.
Yep.
Convos are gonna be super real. She wants to get with you in all the feels. Feeling thorny. Yeah, feeling thorny.
That's right, I'm feeling thorny. Things are so thorny.
Feeling thorny. With Anne Marie.
offshoot of Will You Accept This Rose, Feeling Thorny, where only the best of the best are invited into my tent.
Your lair.
Into my lair to really, it's like we know, we've heard you talking about your dislike of Five Heads. Mm-hmm. We know how you feel about a James Taylor or somebody coming out with a guitar.
Yep.
But now's the time to really, like, let's just, like, take some ayahuasca and get to know one another. You guys, you've been waiting for it. You're like, who is it going to be? Bachelor of the Year 2012. Bachelor of the Year 2013. Bachelor of the Year, skip 14, 15. Bachelor of the Year 16, not 17. 2018, 2019, Robert Benedict.
All right.
Hi, Rob.
Let's do it. Hi.
Okay.
This is exciting.
It's so nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
I mean, and it's so, it'll be so odd to have a real conversation with you.
I know.
I'm like terrified.
No, this is great. You've got no notes because there wasn't an episode last night.
I have no notes. I mean, I do have notes. But
sure.
No.
But I mean, you're not. We're not going through an episode.
No, we're not going through an episode.
The episode is our life.
No, it is. It's like we can go anywhere we want. We can go off-roading. Mm-hmm. For those listeners at home, I'm doing this in case you don't know. I have a book coming out this fall.
So excited.
Called Little Miss Little Compton that you can pre-order right now. You know what? And I'm begging you, please pre-order it. I'm desperate. All I want in life is to be on the bestseller list. Apparently, you need 8,000 sales. It's all about the pre-order. So
okay.
Get one for your sister.
Yeah.
Just order it now. Forget you ordered it. And think of it like Ambien Santa. Like you take some Ambien, order a few, and
great.
A few months later, it'll arrive. You
great.
Don't know.
Yeah. Do it. I'm going to do it.
Are you going
to
do it?
And I'm excited to read it because I haven't read it yet.
I think it's really good.
I'm excited.
I think I actually did a good job. I can't believe
now,
it.
Now, is the Bachelor podcast in there?
Yes, it is.
Oh, exciting.
Yes, it is. Oh, right. It sure is.
Oh, wow.
It was an interesting thing writing it. And also, in a weird way, I feel like the podcast has helped me get a little more honest and get to know people more. Mm-hmm. It's surprising. Who would have ever thought a Bachelor podcast?
Right.
I feel like I have like a real intimate group of friends from this.
Me too, for sure. I mean, people, for me, you know, you work with people like Debbie, Ryan.
Yeah.
Like for me, I know we're through this, but I feel like she's a really good friend.
But I feel like, honestly, I feel like but that's how.
And Padgett and.
All of you. I knew at about the same level, like I knew a little and I liked. Mm-hmm. And then this was a way to come in and to have almost like we're on a sports team where we play, or we play like chess.
Totally.
Or
like when you travel with somebody and all of a sudden you become better friends because you go through that experience together.
Or worse friends. Sometimes when you travel.
True. And that's how it all comes out.
Okay. Starting right there. Have you ever gone on a trip with a buddy that you're like, I feel like this happens more with women, but like, have you ever been like, oh, we're going to go do this. And then you start traveling with somebody and then you see that they're like really uptight or something.
I always dread it if I have to travel with someone that I don't know that well.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah. Certainly I've had some bad trips with like, you know, girlfriends and stuff. But the thing that comes to mind is my friend when I was a kid. I had like my best friend is this guy, Trevor. And Trevor was like my family's best friend. He grew up with me and my brother.
Right.
He was like a brother but wasn't in our family.
Yeah, brother from another mother.
Yeah. And when I moved to LA, he came out to visit me and we took a road trip together and just he has really bad habits that he never really knew.
Like what?
Littering.
He would finish
he would finish,
he littered.
Yeah, he would like blow his nose in a Kleenex and throw it out the window. And I the car, I'm like,
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing? You can't do that. We had a huge fight. I would pick up his. Oh, for sure.
I have to say, I do as a comedy choice, like watching Anchorman, I did always find it so funny when they would just litter. Littering is such a funny comedy device.
Mad Men did it too.
Did they?
They had a picnic
litter.
And then they just like
they just
throw
littered.
It all on the grass.
It is like, I do think in a script.
I am appalled at littering.
It
happens. You drive behind someone in L.A. when they do it.
Yeah.
And you're scared to say something.
Oh yeah. No, you can't.
In L.A. because you'll get
people
shot.
People go psycho. Now, you grew up in Missouri.
Columbia, Missouri.
How many brothers and sisters?
Youngest of four.
No way.
Yeah. I've got an older sister who's like late 50s and then another sister and then a brother who's 3 years older than me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm very much youngest child.
Yeah. And I know you were saying your brother was like an athlete. Your brother was like the basketball guy.
He's 6'4".
Yeah.
And he was like a star athlete in high school. So I was, you know, not.
I remember when we did Sketch Fest. Do you remember that photo, Anna?
Yeah, with your girl.
Your date. Yeah. And so were you super popular during? Because I feel like my brother and I were both also the smallest. We were tiny. Mm-hmm. I was too young for my class, mm-hmm. and we both grew really late.
Mm-hmm. I was really tiny, and I was really popular. I just used it to my advantage because I was always the littlest in my class.
Yeah,
and I just used humor as my kind of my thing.
And it's just interesting because, I don't know. Do you think I feel like sometimes with guys, the humor makes you popular. With girls, it makes you neutered and well liked.
Friend zoned.
Yeah.
I mean, I was definitely friend zoned. I wasn't popular like all the girls wanted me.
Right.
I was everybody's friend.
But you had a cute girlfriend.
Well, yeah, she was my neighbor, and so for about 5 years, literally from second grade on, it was she's my girlfriend. But nothing ever happened. She was just my girlfriend.
That picture is so cute.
Yeah, and she's a foot taller than me.
I loved it.
She grew, and I didn't.
It's interesting that I don't know that many people that were popular early on.
I did pretty well. As a kid, I was, and in high school, too. I know a lot of my friends, fuck high school. I hated high school. For me, I did pretty well.
Yeah. College was because there's a reset button. You're like, wait, I'm the popular guy from high school. Were you popular in college? Were you popular all the way through?
No. I was popular with my groups, but no, in college, first of all, I went to Northwestern, so it was a lot of smart people.
Yeah.
And I was valedictorian in my high school.
Yeah.
And big shot. And then I went to college and it was everybody was valedictorian of their high school. Right. So you're not important.
And that is a very, I feel like Northwestern in particular, it's almost like an Ivy. But I feel like there's more of a love for people who go to, I feel like it's more ride or die Northwestern number one. Were you part of that whole theater crowd?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did you do improv and Meow and all that
stuff?
Yeah,
I wasn't in the Meow show, but yeah, I know knew all those people.
For those of you, Chicago is a huge, I actually started doing comedy and improv in Chicago. And I remember there was a kid, I was 19, and there was this kid, Ed Herbstman, who was also 19.
I know Ed, yeah.
And he was at Northwestern. Yeah. We were the two teenagers and he was part of the Meow show. Yeah. And so the Meow show is this prestige, very hard to get into, very prestigious, very good. College improv troupe.
Yeah. Our mutual friend Bruce was Meow Show.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was it intimidating to, as far as acting and stuff goes, with the talent level at Northwestern, did you feel intimidated?
No, that was one area I didn't quite feel intimidated. We all were coming into it at the same level of inexperience. And no, in college you have that weird sort of confidence about certain things. And that's one thing I always was with my acting stuff, I always felt, really confident with that. And
And
I found my group within the theater school. And then I also found my group within the fraternity system.
That's so interesting.
But but I wasn't. In high school, I just was a really good student.
I'm so sorry. That's so loud. Am I crazy? Is the typing crazy? No. I think we're good.
I feel like we're with.
Okay.
I feel like we're at CNN.
I know.
This is what it's like.
Okay.
I'm just writing down everything about you.
No, it's okay. We can do it at the end. We can do the gist of the.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you're actually joining Scientology right now. We're getting all of your secrets. This is our e-meter.
Wait a minute.
And then tell me more. Have you watched that Leah Remini Scientology thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
What made her quit? Why did she stop?
Did you just have a come to Jesus moment?
Because she was deep in.
Yeah, I read her book. It was
you
because
did?
Of the basically she was starting to slowly question things, and then there was kind of a showdown at the Tom Cruise wedding,
with Katie Holmes.
Yeah, there was some stuff went down, and they were trying to get her to pull Jennifer Lopez in, and she kind of was like, "You got and she was kind of like,
"Did she say this in the show?"
This is so interesting.
The show's more about Scientology than her.
Wait a minute. So they were trying to get her to get J-Lo at the Tom Cruise wedding.
Yeah. So they were like, invite J-Lo to Tom Cruise's wedding, and then it was like, Tom Cruise and Katie would love to take a walk with Jennifer Lopez and who is Mark Anthony after the wedding or something. It was
Whoa.
A lot of weird stuff. That Leah was being weird about, and so Scientology turned on her and started to be like, "You're being bad. You're being a suppressant person because you're not basically giving us full access to Jennifer Lopez. It was like, and that was just one of the things. Like, other things were happening as well, but she started to be like, that's weird. Like,
should I read
Remedy
the book?
Knows J-Lo?
I know, that's what I'm like, wait, what? Should I read the really book? Close. Should I read the book?
I mean, if you would like, it's a good book. It takes you, she started in Scientology when she was like a child.
Right. So it was like her family.
It's not as good as yours.
Oh my God. No, you don't think so? No. Okay. Okay. No, okay.
Because your Scientology chapter is
amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know what? I just like to look soup cans on my shoulder. It's time to get sexy.
Oh, yeah.
I need a sexual timeout.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So we were part of my book is about my family, mm-hmm. and then it's also about coming to LA.
Yeah.
And I know a little bit about you, mm-hmm. but like, and I feel like I've gotten to know you more at festivals and stuff like that.
Yeah. Again, but, when you travel.
But your did your dad? It's like I had a very tricky dad. You find out about it. I had a great mom, tricky dad.
Yeah.
Your dad, did he leave? Was that
right? So when I was like 12. He just started not being around as much. And like, I was very much the youngest, not told anything, which has become an issue in later in my life. It's like, I have trust issues
because sure.
I don't believe you when you tell me something. Cause a lot of times, like my mom and my older siblings were like, it's fine, Robbie, don't worry about it. It's fine.
You.
Yeah. And then, before I know it, I'm hearing my mom talk on the phone. I remember listening on the second floor, to my mom on the phone on the first floor, talking about my dad's affair. My dad's having an affair. So I...
adults don't think kids know what's going on.
Kids take it in. Yeah.
And when you're little, like, kids know way more than people realize.
And I asked my mom, I said, what's going on? And my mom, I'll never forget, said, your dad just has a very close relationship with somebody he works with.
And you're like, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. And it's just this weird, as a 12-year-old, there's just this weird sort of like... fear, I guess, it settles in your chest. You're not quite sure what it is or what she means. You know what she's not saying, but you don't know what she's not saying.
Were you close with your dad at that point?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is my from 0 to 10, I thought I had an ideal life.
Right.
Like we had this great house. Columbia, Missouri is a great town. It's like a university town.
Right.
So it's the Austin of Missouri.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's
great.
It's this one little liberal nook in the middle of Missouri, which is a very red state now.
Yeah.
And so we had like REM came to play. Like
right.
You have this liberal thinking college.
Right.
Everyone who goes to college is
what school is it?
University of Missouri.
Okay.
So it's the state school.
Great.
So
you had this idyllic, dreamy childhood.
Football or baseball catch on the front yard, you know. And of course then after he turned asshole, there are things that you're like, oh yeah, I guess that was kind of dickish.
Right.
One of the things is my dad thought I was too short
and he
made me go to this growth doctor.
Wow.
But that was all through my like teenage years. I had to go to this growth doctor because he wanted me to be as tall as my brother.
So then he also teaches you that something's wrong with you.
Totally.
Did you take it in?
Big time. Oh, big time. My whole life. I mean, I still walk in the room and think I'm the shortest guy in the room.
Right,
even
and you
though
think
I'm not.
About it.
I just found out that the average American height of a guy is shorter than me.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I think I'm ridiculously short. I'm actually not.
No.
For American men.
It's funny though, like the stuff that it's hard to shake even when you know better, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad, he would just call me fat and like,
crazy.
I mean, truly, like, and just the stuff, like, he just would just be like, who'd want to marry you? Like, just awful. Right. And you kind of know, like, this doesn't seem like a happy person telling me, and yet it's also like your parent, you know? And so it's hard not to take, but I do have a theory that a lot of my favorite people have bad dads. I feel like our generation had a lot of bad dads.
Yeah. We were saying before we started the podcast that when someone says they have a good dad, you're like, wait, really?
What Katie was saying, she's got a good dad.
Yeah, and I was like, weird.
Anna has a tricky dad.
Not a great dad.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
Did your mom and dad get divorced? Did your dad
leave?
No, they
stayed married till the end. They were in.
Was he always home?
He was always
home. He was just a jerk to you.
He was just a jerk to me. He didn't like me.
Why?
I don't know. And honestly, like when I really look back, and I didn't put this stuff in the book because it's almost like too dark, but like he was awful to me literally from the day I got home from the hospital.
Fuck.
Like he held me in the, like, you know, babies' necks aren't developed. Like my first day home from the hospital, he held me in the head in the doorway. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so I think he'd made up his mind, like, he was just going to tease. He just was just a bully.
Your brother's older than you, right?
My brother's older. He kind of, he wasn't a good dad to either of us, but I think there was sort of a man-to-man thing of like, we're going to talk business. But my brother was little, and he always kept treating my brother, who is a straight man, and not the, like, from the time he was five, he was like, you know, treating him like, you know, you better watch out in the shower. Like, you're a little guy. You know,
oh
it was
God.
Like, yeah, he was just a very inappropriate dad.
Was your mom aware of it?
I think she was. Like, that was, I would say greatest lady ever, greatest mom. But her Achilles heel was, it was him. Was sort of like, and like, oh, he didn't mean it. You know, like that kind of, you're like, well, it's kind of a horrible thing to do or say.
And as an adult, did you ever talk to her and say, Dad was awful to me?
Oh, yeah, we did. There was a year where I didn't talk to anybody in my family for a whole year.
Wow.
I know. And you know, it's interesting. I think we just sort of agreed to disagree. You know, it's like.
About him.
Yeah. And like, and I also realized like at a certain point, I realized I had to let her off the hook of like, it's not my business. I think I kept trying to like wake her up and it's like, it's not my business to know, like, I don't know why she just like, he rang her bell. He was her cup of tea, you know? And so, and I think realizing, and that's her husband. And so it's like, if I'm going to go visit her, he's going to be there. And so it was also like, okay, for like, he was so rude about my career. So it was like, what can I talk like news, weather, sports, you know, it was just very, I'd be polite with him, but I didn't share much that then he could mock.
Yeah, and I think that what you're saying, too, is part of growing up. You get to a certain point when you've moved out, you're on your own, you're finally maybe even in your 30s.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. Oh, now I have a different perspective on everything that went on. And that was my big thing is like So after I found out that he was having an affair, of course, sort of slowly, then he just kind of started just like leaving. He would leave for like a week and come back.
Right.
Leave for a long weekend and come back.
Were they still married?
Still married.
Right.
And I had to tell friends who would spend the night on the weekends that he was on a business trip. My mom would always say that he's on a business trip.
That's
so saving face was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. My dad went to rehab and they're like, say we're just going to, Mexico.
Oh, so he drank.
Yeah.
Right. So my parents were drinkers. My parents were like madmen.
I mean, for sure. 100%.
You know, they just made my mom would make my dad two scotches when he got home from work.
Yeah.
That was just their life.
Yeah.
My mom was the housewife. And my dad worked. And then my dad would just go and then with 2 weeks, then it would become a month. Like then he just like kind of didn't live with
us. You have to hide it.
Yeah. And then finally my mom, we moved out of our house and we moved just me and my mom and my brother because my sisters were gone.
So that's a pretty big about face. I mean, that's a pretty big... 0 to 10.
Yeah, we moved into a condo and then he was gone.
Do you have any contact with him?
No. So he was gone, and then he would kind of, you know, and then again he would come back for a little bit and then go, and then he moved in with his mom, my grandmother, and then he finally moved into with this woman.
Yeah,
and he moved in with her. They were still married though.
Wow.
Still married and still kind of saving face.
Right.
And then when I went to college is when I was like, That was fucked up.
Right.
It's just weird. They were married. He just was gone.
Right.
He just was gone. And he never sat down with me and said, listen,
yeah,
I'm going through this thing.
Right.
You know, and now that I'm a father, I'm very aware of all that stuff.
Right.
And like he never had a talk with me. I was never ever told what was going on.
Right.
He just was gone. And then and that's when I got mad. I went to college and I got mad.
How could you not? Of course you did.
And you know, that he missed all my good stuff.
Of course.
He missed the good stuff and the bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a problem with a girl, he wasn't there. And if I, when I was valedictorian, like, yeah, he wasn't there.
That's when my dad died, I was surprised because he was dying forever. But I remember how much grief I had. Like, I knew I tried everything that I, it was like that it, he missed my, everything.
Yeah.
I had no interest.
Yeah.
And like, just the pain of like, wow, you missed out on like a pretty great kid, yeah, you know?
That's what I'm aware of too. Like my son now is a sophomore in high school. He's going to be gone in a couple of years.
That's right.
Like, cherish every minute you can with not only just if you have kids or not, but like just fucking life and just be honest. So there was this one on for 7 years. He was gone, but they were married. And then finally,
that's confusing. And nobody's talking about it.
No.
Did you talk about it with your siblings?
Yeah. My brother, my mom went through this whole period where she was drinking because she couldn't handle it.
Right. Sure.
My brother and I were just, it was about trying to keep my mom healthy.
Yeah.
My high school career was weird because I didn't have parents to report to.
Right.
My house was kind of known as the cool one because we could keep beer in the fridge.
That's right.
Because she was barely keeping it together.
Right. That's right.
But, you know, we would find like
bottles. No, outsiders, it's fun. And you're it's fun for your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Let's go to Rob's house. He barely has a parent.
Yeah, it's fun if it's not your parent.
Yeah. And then I went to college. My sophomore year in college, she finally divorced him.
Good.
And he got married like 5 months later.
To the same lady?
Same woman, yeah.
Do they have kids?
No.
How...
And so, yeah. So then it was like, and it's not like then he was like, I'm so sorry.
No.
This is not a cool dude.
No, mine wasn't. That was the thing, too. I think for years I wanted like a sorry. And then I was like, oh, that's never like. And
there
I think
were
I had
letters and stuff where I would write. Like,
me, too. I sent letters. And it was just like ammunition. I will say like there was a certain freedom of like, okay. And even in like in writing the book, like obviously like it's a funny book, but it's also an honest book, and realizing like I think when I started to become more okay was like, all right, so I have this great mom, I have a great brother. Like, why can't, rather than like a four-legged stool, why can't I just be like, or a four-legged chair, why can't I just be a well-formed three-legged stool?
Right.
Rather than like a hobbly, like, okay, it just didn't happen.
Right.
And it doesn't mean, like, I certainly will be affected for the rest of my life. I certainly have effects from growing up with him, but like, just kind of like, it didn't happen.
Right.
Like, there's so many people on the earth who do want to pay attention to you.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's people that have it worse. You know?
100%.
But, yeah, you know, as an actor, too, you find yourself in going out for roles with other actors who feel like they've got a better sense of self than you, because my sense of self was not matured at all.
Right.
I was still
That's
very much a 12-year-old boy who was hurt by my father. And I was jealous of some other kids my age, kids in their 20s, who were out here and just had this sense of like great sense of self. Like I'm great because my mom told me I was great every day.
I know.
My mom told me to hide it every day.
But like, yeah, but when you're and like, wait, I know that feeling.
This is a huge, huge stereotype and, you know, whatever. But a lot of my Jewish friends, I felt like really had a great sense of self.
Yeah.
I feel like it's in a lot of the Jewish culture that the moms adore the boys.
Great,
and they're like,
moms.
You're going to be
great, moms. Great.
This boy, there's not no one better than this boy. I have friends who have Jewish friends who have sons, and they're like, no one's better than my son.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So the son grows up with this great, I mean, they're all healthy and it's not weird. They grow up with this great sense of self. Why not me?
Yeah.
Why not me?
Yeah.
Where I'm walking in a room going, like, not me.
No,
it's
no,
not
I
me.
True. Believe me. I know. I walk in still feeling like Barb from Stranger Things at all times.
Yeah. And it's a fucked up thing, right? Because of what we do. My whole hiding my dad having left, hiding that, not hearing the truth from people about what was going on.
Yeah.
My dad never telling me the truth. My dad never apologizing or coming clean or anything. Then I'm going in these audition rooms and I'm auditioning for this role and I'm so paranoid. Like, what are they thinking about me?
Right.
What are they thinking about? They're not telling me the truth.
Right.
Do I suck? Do I suck? I might suck.
Right.
I mean, what do they suck? You know what I mean? That whole thing. That was hard for me to get over all of that.
I'll tell you 100%. I'll tell you what was an interesting thing, which started to help me a little bit, was I when I started doing stand-up later, and I at first started doing it just for money, like because Bobby Lee, who was I was on Mad TV with, sure, and then we were on Chelsea Lately together, and which was so fun. And Chelsea Lately was really helping make stand-ups careers. And but you pay, it's, you know, so delighted to be a part of it. And the payment, you make like $300, but like it's the fun of the exposure and people get to know who you are. And I remember Bobby was like, Arden, like, you're the only one that's not capitalizing on this. Like, you have the same, all the same TV credits, but like, I'm going out on the weekends and I'm making X number of dollars every weekend. Like, you could be doing that too. And so, like, at first I was like terrified of it, but I started doing it. And then, like, I felt like I had to play catch up because I'd always done improv or sketch. So, you know, it's like playing basketball or soccer, and then all of a sudden I'm playing baseball. But like was like quickly there was like a very steep learning curve because I was quickly starting to get booked in things that I probably shouldn't have been getting booked in earlier.
Right.
But I noticed like I'd written one set that I thought was what people wanted to see. And I felt like it was actually everything, like as I was recording them and listening back and I would improv things, it was actually like my flaws or the things that I thought was the worst about me that was more related. Relatable to people,
right.
That like actually was like everything I'm trying to hide is actually is what makes you a good performer,
right.
Like, and that's actually what people want to see, and yes. Nobody wanted to hang out with a perfect person, like right. That was such an eye-opening thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I started getting more interesting acting roles, and I was like, totally. Actually the talent is where like the what I'm trying to hide from you is
yes
like the damage.
The more vulnerable you can be, really, the better.
You're so Rob is, I first got to know who you were from Headcase.
Oh, okay.
You're so good on that.
Oh,
this
awesome.
Was a show
Thank
with
you.
Ali Wentworth. Was it all improvised?
Yeah.
Was that fun?
One of the best acting experiences I ever had because
you
I.
You played her ex-husband or her brother?
Her boyfriend. But I was an agent who was trying to. I was just kind of a sleazy dude, and I was trying to get clients by sleeping with her so that I could get her clients and make them my own. So,
oh my God.
Because she was the therapist of the stars.
You were so good on that.
It was
so charismatic. Was that a fun experience?
Yeah, it was great. It was, again, it was, I don't even know how I got it. Like, it was one of those things where they called me. They're like, hey, is Rob available to come play with us today? So I went down and did a day where we just had a date and they liked what I did. So they kept bringing me back. And then I was
you didn't
kind
have
of,
to even audition. You just started doing it.
And then I was just, and then I was kind of a series regular for season two.
What happened to that show?
It just fizzled away.
Did she do two and a half seasons
or two seasons.
It felt like she didn't want to do it anymore.
She didn't really want to do it anymore.
She was starting to do like Oprah stuff.
Yeah, she kind of had a different thing going.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she's an East Coast person,
right.
Married, you
to
know.
Stephanopoulos.
Right,
yeah.
So she's very much like D.C. and New York.
And, right.
And kind of wanted to be back there. So it kind of, you know, story of my life. I mean, you know
what
I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've been in so many projects where it's like, everything's such great potential, and then just kind
of, oh my God,
out.
It's a fuck. What was your favorite creative, like creatively, what was the most fun job you ever had?
I mean, that's one of them, really, because what we would do, it was Curb Your Enthusiasm, basically.
Yeah, it was so good.
So we'd come in and they'd go, Bobby Bauer, who was the executive producer, who was awesome and so much fun, and he was like, okay, so this is what we're going to do. You're breaking up with her in this scene.
Yeah.
So let's just go.
That's
so we do it. And we go, and it would be pretty long. And he's like, great, keep that part, lose that part, get to this quicker, let's do it again. And you do it like 8 takes.
It was well
done. Then you'd have a scene.
Because there was a moment in time when Curb Your Enthusiasm started, and there was like 8,000 improv shows. Mm-hmm. And like, you can tell the people, like, not every, like, there's a reason there's writers. You know what I
exactly,
mean? Like, and I felt like your show was done so well.
Yeah. No, it was creatively, it was one of the best experiences. Yeah, and I, you know, had high hopes. We were also on the same network with Stars.
Yeah.
With, what was the waiting tables?
Yeah, with, I did an episode called...
Gosh, with Lizzie Kaplan.
And Adam Scott.
Yeah.
And it was called...
Party Down.
And that was like sort of the darling.
That's right, you guys were the duo.
Yeah, but they were like
the darling.
We were like the bastard stepchild a little bit.
And then Stars was like, we're not doing comedy.
Exactly.
After that.
Yeah.
So, first celebrity encounter.
So when my sister Amy,
she
went to Northwestern, and she was a theater major, and I basically followed in her footsteps.
Yeah.
She came out to LA, and I kind of followed. She's 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
She came out to L.A.
So she's an actress?
She's an actress.
Whoa. And she, did you? You have a sister here that's an actress?
Yeah, yeah. And now she's kind of.
Did you guys know that? That's crazy.
Now she, yeah, she does like commercials and stuff. Now she has a family and she's, you know, but yeah. And she got out here. We're from Missouri. So a mutual friend called and said, hey, there's this guy from University of Missouri just dropped out and he's coming down to LA. He needs a place to live. And I thought of you. And she's like, sure. So his name's Brad Pitt. And he lived with my sister when he first moved to LA.
Are you? No way.
They lived together for like 2 years.
No.
Yeah. And
your sister was roommates with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Was that right before he got Thelma and Louise? Did he get Thelma and Louise living with her?
At the end, yeah. His first big thing is he got a commercial.
Was she like, holy shit, this guy's hot? Sorry, I had to cut you off.
Yeah, yeah. She was.
Well, what was the commercial?
They were like brother sister.
Okay, okay.
They never slept together or anything. It was like they were just friends. They were buddies.
Oh my God.
But yeah, he was like beautiful. And she was like, oh my God, my roommate's beautiful. And he's going to.
That's insane. Gonna,
yeah. So she has great pictures, like candid pictures of them just like goofing around the apartment.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So I never met her. My mom met him because my mom would fly out to see her and. Met him and
oh my God.
Then he got a big like Mountain Dew commercial and that was like a big deal. I remember watching it on TV and going like, oh my God, that's Amy's roommate. Okay.
Whoa.
And then when I moved out to LA finally in 1993.
Okay.
My friend Kim Williams, who was a theater major at Northwestern,
uh-huh.
who got Father of the Bride while we were at school.
Oh my God, with Steve Martin.
It was a big deal. Yeah, it was a really big deal. And so she kind of had a little bit of a celebrity. So when I got out to LA, I moved out when she moved out. I roomed with her boyfriend, and she was like, "Hey, I've got these tickets to go see this movie premiere. Do you want to come with me?" And it was what's the movie with Patricia Arquette?
Okay,
and
yeah,
and written by. I can't remember anything. It was written by Quentin Tarantino.
Okay. Yeah.
They're gunning people down, and it's her and Christian Slater.
Yes. True Romance. Okay. Oh my God, you went to the True Romance.
I went to the True Moments premiere.
Yes.
Brad Pitt's in the movie. Brad Pitt was there. And first of all, I saw a lot of celebrities. That was my first like big.
Yeah.
But I went beeline to Brad Pitt, and I was just like, "Hey, I'm Amy Benedict's brother."
No, oh my god.
Oh my God, you're Amy's brother.
Oh my God, I love this.
With Brad Pitt, I was like, "Oh my god, Hollywood's gonna be amazing."
Okay, wait a minute. Who was the thing you were telling us when we did that podcast with Janine? Who did you freak out?
Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. And I had an Eddie Vedder.
How did you freak out Eddie Vedder again?
Well, I love Eddie Vedder. And
sure.
I met him twice. The first time was at Lollapalooza in 1992.
Yeah.
When he wasn't even famous enough, he was like walking around looking at things during the festival.
Great.
They played at like 2 p.m. Pearl Jam.
Oh my God.
So I went up to him and I was like, "Hey, Eddie Vedder, I'm a big fan."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Can I take your picture?" And like, we didn't have phones.
Yeah.
We had an actual camera.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, I don't really do pictures, but like, I'll remember you." And he kind of looked at my eyes and pointed at my eyes. And he was like, "Yeah, I'll remember you."
So for the
longest time, I thought I would go to the concert and I would think that he was looking at me and that he remembered
me. It's me.
And then finally, when I was a grown person, I went, a friend of mine knew Ben Harper, who was opening up for him on his solo tour.
Yeah.
And I found myself in his green room at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Me, him, Ben Harper, and like 3 or 4 other people.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, like he was in conversation like right next to me and I just couldn't get in there to talk to him. And all I could think to do was to ask him for a cigarette. And without stopping his conversation, he just grabbed the pack of cigarettes and just slid it over
and
at the time I was like, yes, you heard me.
Oh my God. And you're like, but it's me. That's right. And Janine had one.
Janine put mine to waste. I mean, her story was like,
it was bad. She was
came
like,
on to
was she like hammered? Something was happening.
She was hammered.
She was still drinking at the time.
Yeah, she was hammered and she basically kind of tried to make out with it.
That's right. I remember there was one that ended really.
And she was saying, we were like friends and he hasn't, and then they're not friends anymore, you know.
That
she was so bad.
Isn't it so? It's so funny when you have just like an awkward encounter that like you cannot recover from.
Who was your first celebrity?
I'm sure this is not my first, but like my first in LA. I remember I was living in Zach Galifianakis's closet, and we went to do karaoke at the Gaslight in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. And Kiefer Sutherland had just gotten divorced from Julia Roberts.
Oh, my God.
And he was shit-faced.
Yeah.
And he was singing, I believe, a Bon Jovi song, like maybe Living on a Prayer. Okay. And before he started singing, and it was like a Tuesday, okay? And it's like, there's Hammered, like straight from the tabloids, like popular, divorcing Julia Roberts, probably in the middle of a nasty divorce, screams to the crowd, never get fucking married. Whoa, I'm halfway there. And then he like, I remember like I was just starstruck. And then he's like, and then we were leaving and then he stumbled out into the street. And like, and then years later, he was one of my favorite drunken celebrity videos where he fights the Christmas tree in the hotel lobby,
the Christmas tree,
which is incredible.
Yeah.
And I will say, somebody who shall remain nameless, my friend used to work at a hotel in New York, and who was the guy that was married to Diane Lane and like
Josh Brolin?
Josh Brolin. So he was like staying at my friend worked at a hotel, and his buddy was a doorman at the Greenwich Hotel, and so Josh Brolin was staying there, and like he allegedly like stumbled over one night. I think he might be sober now. I got like, you know, look, I'm not judging it. I've done really stupid shit.
God.
But apparently I'm not as strong as him, basically. Let's just say I could do as equally stupid shit. I'm just don't have the strength.
Yeah.
Apparently he was like pounding on like some store window that was like a like catty corner to the Greenwich Hotel. So it was like a display window that had no door. It was just like a window, like a, you know, a clothing. He was like, let me in. Greenwich Hotel, let me in. Okay. Like, and it's like, you know, a mannequin. And then he goes and he picks up a New York City trash can, which is so heavy. And he takes it and he threw it through like the plate glass window.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, Greenwich Hotel, let me in. And like the cops came and then the doorman had to go like slide money. And this is all allegedly, guys. Allegedly.
Right,
I'm not saying this happened.
Right.
Maybe. Who knows? Apparently. And then they had to like pay.
Except that it actually happened.
And they paid. They had to pay off the cop.
Oh,
isn't that amazing?
God.
I love that.
I love that the hotel like paid for
it. They covered, because I think he like stayed there a lot, and I think it was like, I think they knew that they could bill his room, you know, like his publicist or whatever, his business manager would cover it.
Isn't
that good?
That's amazing. I stayed at a hotel one time that was a pretty ritzy hotel with somebody who was my sort of celebrity friend who paid for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And my celebrity friend and I decided to do mushrooms, and we did too many, and we ended up having to go to the hospital. And then because an ambulance came and got us and took us to the hospital. It was a horrible, it was a long, really funny story, my celebrity friend hates it when I tell it. And I, but to me, it's just hilarious it happened. So then we wound up at this hospital. What are we going to do? We're in the middle of the city in a hospital.
Yep.
When you OD on mushrooms, you know, the doctor was like, no one's ever died on mushrooms. You're fine. Because you think you're dying because you're on mushrooms, but nothing's going to happen. They make you eat charcoal and then send you home. Yeah. So we're there. We don't know what to do. And the hotel literally sent a car to pick us up.
That's when you see there is the Illuminati. Like there is that whole secret. I remember, speaking of mushrooms and places you don't want to be, being at Outside Lands when I sprained my ankle and we had to hobble to the like medic tent.
Oh.
The medical tent at any music festival not where you want.
No.
You do not want to be having to seek medical attention at a music festival.
They should make you look at it first to get you to not do drugs.
It was really like, how did I end up here?
Yeah.
And it was like, we hadn't even done our show yet.
Yeah.
And like Padgett was walking around with bottles of like, what is her? She like Sauvignon Blanc in her purse, screaming, I'm too famous for this shit. She wanted a golf cart.
Yeah.
And she had like a puffer coat and like stiletto heels.
Oh my God.
And I'm like hobbling. It was a disaster, but still fun.
I really wish I would have been there with you guys.
Oh, my God.
I was doing a convention or something.
Come to Sketchfest again. We just got invited. Are you going? I'll tell you when it is. Okay.
It's January, right?
Yeah, it's January. It's a Sunday.
Sunday's our time slot?
Sunday's our time slot.
But we got to go on Saturday to party Saturday
night, obviously.
Right?
Yeah, obviously. Yes. The 19th. Sunday the 19th. We'll go up on the
18th. All right, great.
Okay, wait a minute. I get drugs. drugs. God, okay, I know. I was talking about in the book. It's really,
were you a drug person? You're clean always.
No, I wasn't always clean. I'm just bad at it. So, like, I went to college in Colorado. I wrote a whole chapter. Anna's read it. I read a chapter. Okay, so, like, writing a book is also like I feel like I've forgotten everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You really have to. And for me, at least, I was like, what are my most humiliating stories my entire life?
Right.
And I do remember, I don't think I put this in the book, but like I would drink like a whole bottle of Boone's Farm wine. And then like that's when I was like, I'm going to smoke pot. Mm-hmm. And then there would be like a super bong that's like 10 or 12 feet long.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd climb up onto some rickety homemade loft in a on a dorm room. I would take a 12-foot bong pole and then flying and like throwing up under my rug bowl because I felt like nobody could find me if I was under the rug.
Yeah.
Nobody would notice the lump. Nobody would see me under there. I'm safe under here. Nobody's going to find me.
That's like when your cats put their head under a blanket. Yeah. Like, I'm safe.
My cat does that at the vet. Like, he's like full under the blanket.
To be safe from harm? Wow.
I'm very bad at drugs. I get so high and I'm high for days. Yeah. And I go straight past giggling and I go right to Middle Earth.
Yeah, I used to be that way. I mean, I'm not good at drugs either. I just keep trying.
You do it. I've had other people say that. I don't have any giggles. It's just pure paranoia.
I've gotten better.
CBD oil.
Yeah. I've gotten better in my older age because now I'm aware how little it takes for me. I used to just do too much.
Sure.
A bottle and a
12-foot bong pool was probably
there's a way to get just a little
moderation.
High. Yeah, yeah. There's a way to get just a little high, just a little tipsy on even drinking, like just moderation. I didn't understand that before.
Young Rob, well, you fell in love in college, so you never had you never had to date in LA.
I never had to date. I met someone in college and we got married like 2 years later.
Did you have a girlfriend all through high school?
I had, a couple girlfriends, like two girlfriends in high school. And
so you've always been pretty much coupled off.
Yeah, yeah. And I was very much like I learned from my siblings, and they always, like, my brother always had a girlfriend. So, like, okay, so I'm going to always have a girlfriend. And you know what I mean? Like,
you're my most social. So it's funny because how you compare yourself to the guys in the audition room,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, he's not socially awkward. I get social anxiety, and I look at you and I think, that guy knows how to talk to people. Am I right?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I've always used my whatever anxiety is there. I wouldn't call my anxiety social anxiety, but I have anxiety.
Yeah.
And I just use it in my, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to do it more than I do now, but I'll make fun of myself in the moment.
Yeah.
I'll come interrupt a conversation and be like, what are you guys talking about? Oh my God, look at me. Yeah, I just interrupted you. You guys are like, and I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, you're like that.
Yeah. I get meow, pew, pew.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Drinking. Honestly, and that's why I do drink, is it does settle my nerves.
I'll tell you what, I only really eased off of drinking because of I am so out of control with sweets that like there's too much sugar and alcohol. So it's more that I just quit sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'll tell you, when I quit sugar and then more than like, okay, I guess I won't drink as much, like I was like, oh, there's a reason there's alcohol. Like, it is a good social lubricant.
It is.
It's relaxing.
It is. It
helps.
Is. Again,
it takes the edge off.
But yeah, it does.
Okay, wait a minute. Tell me best of what you got from like the Benedict, like best of the gifts that you were given growing up, and like what were the unique things from your house that you think were the best of?
We are very social people.
Okay.
And good around other people. My parents were in a community theater, and that's where I got the sort of theater bug.
Love it.
But really, honestly, because of what happened with my dad, my siblings and I and my mom all really bonded together.
Right.
So, like, we to this day, I'm very, very close with my siblings, very close with my mom.
I think we're how my brother, my mom, and I were. It was like, it's the three of us and the guy in the den.
Yeah. Yeah, you just naturally do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's moved from this place of anger to, like, we were all just, like, positive, you
That's
know?
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. But I think,
and you're close with all of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, my sister lives here, and I get to see her. And my brother and I talk almost every day. I mean, text almost every day. It's we're tight. We're a good, funny family. Funny.
I like that.
Humor.
Humor is
humor
key.
Is huge.
I don't know
family.
What people talk about if they don't like make jokes. Like, I'm truly like, I literally don't know what people talk about.
I don't either. And
like,
and,
or if you're dating, like, what do you talk about year four? Like, I don't know what you talk about.
Yeah. If there's, honestly, if you're not laughing on the first date, it's not going to work.
What? You know what I mean? Oh, no. Yeah, no.
But yeah, no, for me, humor was a big, I mean, my uncle on one side is really hilarious. My aunt on the other side is hilarious. Like you,
yeah.
The whole family has humor and like funny movies.
Yeah.
Love
humor is
movies.
Key. I know. I remember I was grateful to have an older brother and a funny family. My mom would record SNL for me when I was in like second grade.
Mm-hmm.
We would watch like Monty Python and Steve Martin
totally
movies.
Same.
Like, Woody Allen before we knew he was totally creepy. Like I had a good education, you know?
Yeah. I said, like when people ask me what my music influences are, I'm always like, well, I loved Michael Jackson when it was okay.
Yeah, I know. Okay I did to like- too. I loved him. I loved him. Yeah. He was when I was sad to lose.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any questions for Rob? How fun. I have to say, it's been such a joy getting to know you. It's fun to, I feel like I've now known you for, this is coming on 4 years. And like, it's fun to actually, well, I'm happy to get to like, to get, and for the listeners to get to know you.
What was
more.
Great about my relationship with you is that like, I knew who you were starting with Mad TV because our friend Bruce worked on Mad TV.
And who then now runs RuPaul Drag Race.
Exactly. And before that, Nicole Sullivan, the reason any of us knew about Mad TV is I'm like really good friends with Nikki Sullivan and she was in the original cast.
Yep.
So that was like Mad TV was always a big part of my external life because I knew all the people in and out of it. And then so I knew who you were then. And then you and I both were in a movie that we never had scenes with. That
we did a movie together.
A Little Help.
Yes.
And then I remember talking to you at one of Bruce's Halloween parties.
Yep. But, you were dressed. You had like short shorts and like knee high socks
like a 70s
Prefontaine.
Yeah, exactly. And then you asked me to do this.
It was such a joy.
Yeah, and it was like this is when we actually became friends.
I love it.
Yeah,
I know it's so fun. We've built a weird little team.
I know it is. It's totally a team.
You guys, and you didn't meet Heitner until San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't disappoint.
No, he's amazing.
He's amazing. He's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. He's amazing.
No, this whole extended crew and Erin. I love Erin.
She just got hired on One Day at a Time. She's a staff writer.
Really?
Isn't that exciting?
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for her.
I know. I love Padgett. I love the whole crew. It truly is like I've never been on. I was not on a lot of teams. And so I was like in theater clubs and stuff. But like.
Well, you don't have a lot of teams. But that's the thing about it is like, again, I had this great high school experience. But then you get to college and then you go out and you're in the real world and like your teams dwindle. And
no,
then
no.
You in LA, you have to latch out. You have to find your team.
No, and this is a fun team because I actually feel like we play a weird sport. Like I feel like we all play the sport of the Bachelor.
High Lie or something.
We play High Lie. Ooh, I don't know about you, but things are getting so hot in here. I think I gotta take a pee break.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
You guys, Rob.
Yeah, did we cover everything we wanted to cover?
I feel like, is there anything you want to say?
No.
Do you have a most embarrassing adolescent? Did you ever like have a epic fail of asking out a girl or anything?
Oh, all the time. All the time. I was so bad at it. You know, up until when I asked my wife to marry me, I said, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind marrying me so much.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, like I screwed up the line.
You said, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind marrying me so much.
Yeah, yeah. At Yamashiro's in Hollywood.
Wait a minute. You got engaged at Yamashiro's.
Yeah.
Were you down on one knee when you said I was?
No, I sat next to her on the, we were sitting across from each other, and I gave her this card. At the end of the card, I said, okay, put the card down and look at me.
I was wondering if you wouldn't mind marrying me. I find that so endearing.
Yeah, I
find
that so lovely. So
I think that's so extra cute. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind marrying me so much.
But the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
I
is
love
that
this.
After the shrooms thing, I was real shaky, and I started. I started passing out in public.
Great.
Having anxiety attacks passing out in public.
Yeah.
What would make me pass out in public is the thought that I would pass out in public.
Yep.
So
it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, yeah. I would be at the grocery store like, oh, you're going to right here at the checkout counter. You're going to fucking pass out.
Oh, shit.
So I was at a friend's wedding, standing up for the friend in Chicago.
I can't.
In front of 400 people in the program. It said, you know, meet the men who are standing up for us, the groomsmen.
Oh, my
God,
no.
Rob Benedict, he's been on this. He's been on that. He's an actor. You might know him from this or that.
Oh, my
right?
God. They did that at the wedding? Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this and is so, Arden. She'll steal your food at night. Sometimes she Googles people she hates. She takes Ambien and orders makeup palettes, and then they arrive and she forgot. She's like, who sent me this?
She lives in LA and she's been my friend for 10 years.
Her FICO score is 280.
I know, that part was weird. So here I am, pretty sober, completely sober.
Sure.
But I'm up in front of all these people. It's kind of hot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, everybody, I feel like everyone's looking at me, and I'm like, you're going to pass out. You're going to pass out.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at you and you're going to pass out. This is what's going to happen. And my friend describes being behind me and seeing sweat just form on the back of my neck.
Oh my God.
And the next thing I know, literally the ceremony had started and I'm on the ground.
No.
And the priest was over me and my friend was over me, who's a doctor. And they were like, you just passed out, you know, and it was just, it was awful.
That was right before the ceremony, like right before.
No,
like,
it was during oh like the God. Vows and shit.
I can't. I can't believe they introduced you guys during the vows.
So they sat me next to my wife and she said, are you okay? I said, yeah. She said, here's the deal. You're going to get up and you're going to walk that girl down the aisle. So I had to walk the bridesmaid down the aisle that I had.
Here's the deal. Yeah. I like that your wife is so practical. Yeah, she was like, get to
this
it.
Is what's happening. Yeah.
Fucking practical.
This is on you, motherfucker. So,
this is so
then
practical.
I had to walk down the aisle in front of everybody like, hey, I'm the guy who just passed out.
Oh my God.
Later that night, I was at the reception. I went in the bathroom to go to the bathroom and just had to take a breath because it was overwhelming. And I heard someone came in and they're pontificating about why I passed out.
Oh my God. You're like, I'm right here, asshole.
Yeah, I'm in the stall.
I can't hear you.
I'm in the stall.
What did they think?
Someone's like, I heard he had an iron deficiency.
Oh,
like a rumor.
That's actually
around.
A very kind rumor that got spread. It's better than like he dabbles in meth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, like
he's a cokehead.
Yeah, exactly. Like things aren't good at home. Yeah. Wow, that is. So you
that's
just
a chapter
the
in my
whole,
book.
That's it should be. Yeah. It is an interesting. You did stand up too.
I did stand up. Yeah, I did stand up. I was the opposite of you. Like I did that early.
Yeah.
And I did it with Zach a lot with Galifianakis.
I did it early with him in New York, and then I stopped.
Okay, I see.
So it was in your repertoire. Because I booked a sitcom. I did it, but I was afraid of it, and I preferred improv and sketch. I liked playing with other people.
Gotcha.
It's more like this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like this too, and ultimately that's why I stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But I loved it for a while. I did
You're
it for
so
a couple
funny.
Years. Yeah, and I'd love to do it again. I still think about it. My friend John Quaintance, who I did it with, we had a show together, and that's Zach would come to our show.
Where was your show?
The old Largo.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I bet I came and saw it because I was living in his closet then.
Yeah. You might have.
I might have.
He did a lot.
He did a lot of shows there.
Oh, man. And he would do that. And then he'd have five other shows that night.
I'm going to bring up something. You were so sweet to my mom in Nashville.
Yeah.
JJ went and did the live show in Nashville.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She was so sweet with
you. I'm so thankful that I had that experience with her.
That was one of my last outings with her.
Yeah. And it was just me. In my memory, it was me, you, and her.
It was it.
Yeah.
And then the guests.
And when
then,
I got in, I flew on a red eye.
Yeah.
And I got in and took a shower in your
And you were like, I'm so happy to be here. And she said?
Are you though?
Are you Rob? Are you? Are you really? And then when she started going on, like some like online dates, and she was like, I don't want to go out with guys. She goes, they're all old men. Have you ever seen old men balls? And I was like, no. She's like, you don't want to see old man balls. She goes, I want to date a guy in his 40s. I'll date your friend Rob. I'm like, well, Rob's married, but yeah, okay. Yeah, she liked you.
Hilarious.
Yeah, you could have been my future like ex stepfather. Like if you just had like a two week whirlwind. Oh my God.
I mean, has that been written? That's a show. It's got to be a show where I'm your stepfather.
Oh my God, that's actually not a bad idea. That's a really funny idea. And if I was like, she said she would go out with you, and you're like, no, let's do it. I'm like, okay, ha ha ha. Like, no, seriously.
No, I'll do it. I'm ready.
Let's do that. It's like, can you even? All right, let's see. So you started dating your wife in college.
Yeah, in college.
How old were you when you met?
I was 21. She was 20.
And then when
that was a junior in college, and then we graduated.
And when did you do that amazing proposal?
Amazing proposal was when I was 24.
That's young.
She was 22.
That's young.
We got married. I was 24. She was 20. So we got married a year later.
And
24.
You guys have two beautiful kids.
We had two beautiful kids, and we were married for like 23, 24 years.
I mean, that's a successful marriage.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. I mean, it was great. And we split up, a year and a half ago. And, you know, the breakups are hard, and breakups after that long are so sad and so hard. But, I'm so thankful that it's been very amicable between us.
I remember we were at a festival, and I could see it like you being conflicted. Mm-hmm. And I think I would imagine coming from a house with divorce, like there's somehow it's like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. I just have, like, I feel like you've had to meet somebody that young, and mm-hmm. like, that's a successful marriage.
No, it really is. And, one thing I learned from my upbringing, just bringing it all back around,
yeah,
is like,
right.
The first thing we do is we sat down with the kids and talked to them.
Right.
And
it differently.
This whole time I've been so, so communicative with the kids about what's going on. I've been so incredibly involved in their life, and they've, since the split up, like, they've been such a huge part of my life in a way, almost more so, because you want to give 110% to being around them. And
as we were saying earlier, like, kids aren't dumb. Yeah. So like, I remember in my house, like, I just kept being like, why is she still with, like,
right.
And it's a different vibe, but like, kids know if it's less joyful,
right,
know? And it's like, it's okay.
Look, your main job is to love them.
Yeah.
And as long as there's love around, I think.
And I know you love and respect your wife.
Oh,
your
100%. I always will. She's the love of my life, and I always will. And
I've had a bunch of friends who've gotten divorced, and I know it's like the worst year of everyone's lives. And I will say, like, down the road, like, a lot of them got divorced a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was horrible, even if they were the ones that wanted it. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody is happier for it. Like, mm-hmm. there's a reason. Mm-hmm. Nobody takes it lightly, I don't think.
No.
Something you do flippantly.
And maybe our previous generation did, but, like,
right.
and I have a... I've got a space with rooms for the kids, and so they're with me half the time, and they're adjusting, and you know what I mean, that they feel loved, and it's all okay. It's like the modern family, right?
Well, you seem very much yourself,
yeah.
And I think there's like a peace there, and you seem happy, and
yeah.
and like something that you committed to, or something that you met, like 21, like that's an amazing, happy, successful run. That's a very amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else that picked somebody that young that lasted that long.
I know.
No one. Not one person.
I know. Yeah. Right. No.
It is
real
nice
tragedies.
To see you happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I'm very hopeful.
Do you, how often, like, I know you're in a band.
Yeah.
Loud and Swain.
Yes.
How many albums do you have out?
Oh my God. Like 8.
Dude, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been together since the late 90s.
And do you write the music?
I write the lyrics, and I write sort of half the songs or start as songs that I write, but then I bring it to the band, and so the credits are the music by Loud and Swain, lyrics by Rob Benedict. But
and do you, how many people are in the band?
Four.
And has it been the same four the whole time?
Three of us the whole time, and then the lead guitar player joined us in like 2004.
So that's another fun team that you're on.
So fun, yeah. That's my extracurricular activity.
And you love it.
I love it. And now it's gotten to the point where the band, I've been able to sort of incorporate the band into what I do because the band plays the conventions that
I know that's so fun.
That I do with Supernatural. So like, they come, they're kind of the house band all weekend, and then on Saturday night we had this big concert, and
we've
made all
fun.
These bands now, and it's been great
How
for the band.
Fun. I mean, like, you're so talented. You're such a delight. I want you to do more comedy stuff.
I will.
I'm excited for you to join us for our live show.
I can't
show.
Wait.
I don't know when this will air, but okay. So look up Rob and buy his albums.
Yeah, buy my albums, Loud and Swain. We're on iTunes and Spotify and all those things,
And guys, just, you don't have to pop an Ambien, but just get ready to make some bad decisions and just go online shopping. Order my book, please.
Order the book.
A Little Miss Little Compton. You can get it on Amazon. It's all about the pre-order. Please buy it. Stack it up for the next holiday season.
Yeah.
Have it be your hostess gift. You like go buy 10 of them so you bring it to whenever you go visit somebody.
Yeah.
I will, if you bring them to any show I'm at, I will sign any of them.
Sign your
it's
face
a
off.
Really fun book.
Yeah.
It just, you know, like, and you think, oh, yeah, I mean to do it. Please just do it today.
If you're going to buy a memoir, buy this memoir.
I can't believe it. I actually think I did a good job.
I know you did.
I think I did. I think it's funny and good.
And you have a good story. You have a good story to tell.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Rob.
Arden.
I love you very much.
I love you too.
I hope you're feeling thorny. I guess we'll play our new song
I'm
out.
I'm feeling pretty thorny.
Katie, Anna, you have any more questions for Rob? Are you good?
I'm great. That was so insightful into who you are.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to interview each of you guys too. So at some point, get
Please
ready.
Do.
I know. I'm curious.
Find their stories.
Me too.
You know what time it is? It's time for Arden to get a little close and a little thorny. Oh, well, Arden's going to go one on one. Gonna be high energy fun. Convos are gonna be super real. She wants to get with you in all the feels. Feeling thorny, yeah, feeling thorny. Whoa, feeling thorny, feeling thorny with Arden Marie. Yeah, feeling thorny.
Will You Accept This Rose is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.